Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's law, please, from things taken. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Through faith and unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and teach. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. All praises to the Most High God of Israel. We're going to say welcome to another episode of The Sound of Living Waters. I am Job Israel, and today reading with me is you and I both favorite sister, Andrea Rhea Serene Israel. Shalom, Israelite.
Shalom, King and Priest, shalom, family. Grace and peace be unto you and your household.
Amen.
Happy Midst of the Week, Wednesday.
Yes, indeed.
It's my name. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your mercies are in every day.
Today, like I said, I wanted to get through this here precept, and that is the kingdom of God. From the end of this world to the kingdom of God, or from the Jubilee to the kingdom of God. Depends on what part or where we're looking at it from. So with that being said, we're hoping and pray everybody have a King James Version Bible, no book, pen, or paper. Sisters have a head covering, and brothers and sisters, as we get ready to stand and face Jerusalem, we're going to ask the brethren to uncover their heads, and sisters, we're going to ask you to cover your heads in the name of Jesus.
Amen. God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah, that thy way may be known upon the earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth. Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. I have read Psalm 67, verses 1 through 7. In Jesus' holy, precious, mighty name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Heavenly Father, have mercy on our sins and allow us into your kingdom. Father, have mercy and send forth both physical and spiritual gifts upon us. Father, have mercy on our teachers, our elders, and our brethren and their families. Father, have mercy on them that don't know you, God, but the light and blessing is because they see your light and kindness upon us. Father, have mercy on them and their families as well. And Father, have mercy on our children and our children's children and their children and their families. And Father, have mercy and send forth your Holy Spirit and give us a mind to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear and a mouth to speak your words with wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and a faith to perform it. And Father, have mercy on them that hear us and send forth your Holy Spirit upon them as well, and give them too a mind to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and a faith to perform it. In Jesus' name we pray, for your mercies endure forever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. As we welcome the family that's watching us live on Facebook, we want to welcome them as well, and we want to say shalom to you. Also, our family that's on Facebook and that's able to listen to us or watch us live. And we are dealing with from the end of the world to the kingdom of God, or from the Jubilee, I should say, from the Jubilee to the kingdom of God, which is one and the same. We're going to find out that these two principles are one and the same. I like to point out the fact that this Jubilee conversation is a Sabbath, and I don't think we address it enough. I'm not saying that it's not being addressed. I just don't think we address it enough, and that our understanding of it is not where it's supposed to be or what it should be, because if we practice these things, then we'll be able to see more things that belong to them. But that's neither here nor there. What we're going to deal with is the reason why the Father had a thing written called the Jubilees. Now, what is a Jubilee? That's 50 years. You know, how do you get 50 years? Well, you use the prophetic calendar in Revelations chapter 11. And you take that calendar and you divide it, you know, 1260 divided by 42 will leave you 30. 30 times 12, or 30 would be a month because it's 42 months, right? So 42 going to 1260, which is 1260 days, is 42 months. So, and then it kind of breaks down to, and it's common denominator, would be 30 days, right? So 30 times 12 is 360. That's a complete year. So you multiply that times 50, and that'll give you 36,000 days. 50 years will give you 36,000 days. So we start seeing that this conversation is consistent. Zero is nothing. I keep saying the same principle, and I keep talking about the same conversation, man. Look, nine is the end game. You know, ninth planets in our solar system, the woman giving birth on the ninth month, and we only got nine numerals in our conversation. Then we start back over. You know, Adam is circumcised on the eighth day, and on the ninth day, here come New Jerusalem. You know, and on the 14th day in the creation, here come New Jerusalem simultaneously. So nine is huge. Abraham was circumcised at 99, right? And 9 plus 9 is 18. 1 plus 8 is 9. Sarah was 90. Zero is nothing. 9. I mean, it's a huge conversation. So what is this to us? What do this mean? 360. 360, 3 plus 6 is 9, right? And then you take 360, which is a complete circle or cycle, right? And you divide that by 2 and you get 180. Well, once again, 1 plus 8, 0 is nothing. So 1 plus 8 is 9, right? So when you do the math of a Jubilee and you multiply it, you will find that the Jubilee lines up with the coming of God. When I get into that process, we're more getting into the fact that God is coming on the day of the Jubilee. That's when he will return. And those of us that's teaching the word of God is horrifying, because we are teaching that, you know, you need 3 days and three nights to justify the Pentecost, and the Pentecost and the Jubilee is one and the same. And if you can skip 3 days and three nights in the Pentecost, then you got to be able to skip 3 days and three nights when it comes to years. You're going to find that out that you can't. So that's not consistent with Scripture, and it's a contradictory to Scripture, and it upsets the truth of God. So let's get started with this. Let's start this in Revelation 19 and verse 11. First and foremost, we got to get rid of the wicked. So let's do that first. Revelation 19 and verse 11. When you receive it, read to the 21.
Revelation 19:11 reads, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doeth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame and fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture."
See, we get caught up in the name conversation, but we see here this name is from the heavens, from the Chesedek. There's no lineage in the Chesedek, so that conversation don't exist among us. So this name is coming from the Father, and he the only one know it. No man know this, because there's no lineage of the Chesedeks in the world. Some of us are saying that's Semitic, and I'm like, oh my God, people. Read on.
Amen. Verse 13.
Yes, ma'am.
And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God.
Uh-huh.
And the armies which were in heaven.
And the Word of God is Jesus Christ. Some refer to him as Yahshua or Yahawashai, whatever. Look, in the King James Bible, if you're using that, you better use the name of Jesus. You better not change not one word, not one jot or one tittle in this book. Or he said, I add everything to you. If you're going to use that name, then use another book. Just know this, that book is copywritten. It's not published. And if it's copywritten, they got it from somewhere, and they changed it from something, and you're in agreement that they can change Scriptures. Read on.
Verse 14, "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron."
See, that's the thing. He's going to rule the world. And he can't rule the world as long as the world is what it is right now. So he got to destroy the government, the world powers that be. That is to say, continue.
"And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God."
Continue.
"And he hath on his vesture, on his thigh, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords."
And he's not about talking about the King of Kings of this world. They're going to be wiped out. He's talking about the kings that's going to come up in the first resurrection. Continue.
"And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great."
Amen.
"And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of burning fire, lake of fire burning with brimstone. 21, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth. And all the fowls are filled with their flesh."
Now, we're going to pick that conversation up in on the Sabbath day. But like I said, I want to get through with this. So right now we're bringing up the center of it. That is to say, there will be a kingdom, right, on what's going on here. And then this conversation, that's another part that leads to the Father's kingdom. So we're going to get to that on the Sabbath day. Let's go into Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 1. Because remember now, he said he came to make war. He had eyes of flame of fire. That don't mean he had a drink or smoked the blood. It don't mean none of that. He is a spiritual being. Moses said, the Lord our God is a consuming fire. So please stop making those ridiculous assumptions that the God of Israel eyes is red and he got the eyes of flesh. First and foremost, he got the eyes of flesh like we. If he got the eyes of flesh, then man, he can't look at the sun. Come on, let's stop that. Read on.
Zechariah 14 and 1.
Yes, ma'am.
Zechariah 14 and 1 reads, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north and half of it toward the south.
Look, he said judgment is going to start in the house of God. That is Jerusalem. He's going to clean house first. And the world is right now all up in Jerusalem. Our militaries, their military, their diplomats, their ambassadors, and all that madness is inside of our country while they made sure that we're outside of it. Look, he said he's going to clean house first. First. And then he said he's going to roar from Zion. Amen. Continue.
Amen. Verse 5. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azal. Yea, ye shall flee, like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee.
And he said, the Lord my God's feet is going to stand in that day at Jerusalem on the Mount of Olives, right? And he said, the Lord my God shall come and all the saints with him. So where did this come from? Let's go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 and verse 6, because this is what we're talking about, the kingdom of God, right? Read on. Acts chapter 1 and verse 6.
Acts 1 and 6 reads, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel.
Now pay attention to what they said. Continue.
Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven.
Yes, ma'am.
Then returned they into Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet.
That's why we read in Zechariah, he said, and his feet stood upon the Mount of Olives. And the saints did with them. Why? Because judgment is going to start from the house of God. So he said, and the angel just confirmed Zechariah chapter 14. And he told us that this same Jesus you saw is going to return in like manner. Now, let's get this straight. This ain't the one that's on the Roman Catholic walls in the world of the Europeans. This is not him. You know, someone called him Caesar, Borges, or whatever. I don't get off into that conversation. All I know is that that's not him. It's another Jesus being preached. You see, and that's the one he's talking about. It's not coming back. Talking about He's coming back trying to save the world. He's coming back to take the world. Amen? Read that again. Verse 12.
Verse 12 reads, then returned they into Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey.
Let's go to Obadiah chapter 1 and verse 10. Obadiah 1 and 10. Because he said the saints came with him, right? Obadiah 1 and 10, when you receive it, read.
Obadiah chapter 1 and verse 10.
Yes, ma'am.
Verse 10 reads, for thy violence against thy brother Jacob.
That's Israel, and that would be us. Continue.
Shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever.
How long?
Forever.
Look at here. This is a serious crime. Continue.
Verse 11.
Yes, ma'am.
In the day that thou stoodest on the other side, in the day that the strangers carried away captive his horses and foreigners entered into his gates and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou was as one of them.
He's talking about Esau or Edom, which is Jacob's brother. He is not the European. Esau is a Hebrew. Let's keep that in mind. Read on.
Verse 12. But thou shouldest not have looked on the day of thy brother in the day that he became a stranger. Neither shouldest thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction. Neither shouldest thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress. Thou shouldest not have entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, thou shouldest not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity.
Continue.
Neither shouldest thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those of his that did escape. Neither shouldest thou have delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of distress.
Some of us actually escaped the Roman destruction of Jerusalem, or Babylon's destruction of Jerusalem in 586 and in 70 AD. And Edom made sure that we did not escape and brought us back to them for to be crucified on the crosses or to be cast into prison or to be sold into slavery. Continue.
Verse 15.
Yes, ma'am.
For the day of the Lord is nearer upon all the heathen, as thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee.
See, there, now we're still talking about the same time window when the Lord is going to go to war. Continue.
As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thy own head. For as ye have drunk upon my holy mountain, so shall all the heathen drink continually. Yea, they shall drink, and they shall swallow down, and they shall be as though they had not been.
That's Mount Seir. Continue.
But upon Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possession.
We're going to read that. Continue.
And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and
yes,
the house of Esau for stubble, and they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau. For the Lord has spoken it.
See, that's the thing. See, right now, that's why he said he's going to roar out of Zion. He got a clean house first. Judgment start where? In the house of God first. Continue.
Amen. Verse 19.
Yes, ma'am.
And they of the south shall possess the mount of Esau, and they of the plain the Philistines, and they shall possess the fields of Ephraim and the fields of Samaria. And
you're going to give it all back to us. That land is coming back to the children of Israel. Continue.
And the captivity of the host of the children of Israel shall possess that of the Canaanites, even into Zarephath, and the captivity of Jerusalem, which is in Shephar, shall possess the cities of the south. And saviors shall come up
what?
On the Mount Zion.
And what?
And saviors.
And saviors. Saints. The saints shall come upon Mount Zion. That's what we just got to reading about in Zechariah chapter 14. That's them. That's the saints. Saviors. Those that come up in a person's direction. We're going to really get into their conversation because they're part of the kingdom of God. Read on.
And saviors shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's.
Amen. Let's go into Zechariah 14, and let's pick it back up at verse 5.
Zechariah 14 and 5 reads, "And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach into Azal. Yea, ye shall flee, like as ye fled from before the earthquake, in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee."
That's the Savior's. Continue.
"And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark."
Because he's going to put the moon and the sun out, right? They're going to get a day off here. Read on.
"But it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light."
Skip down to 12 and continue.
Verse 12.
Verse 9
reads, "And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord."
See, he said he's going to, in Revelation, he said he's going to rule them with a rod of iron. Well, there it is. "In that day, the Lord shall be king over all the earth." Not part of it. All the earth. Skip down to verse 12 and continue.
Zechariah 14 and 12 reads, "And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them, and they shall lay hold every one on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor."
See, that's the thing. Now, here it is. He said, now, that's Armageddon. Verse 13 is Armageddon. Verse 12 is the day of the Lord. So he's going to turn the nations against each other. That's the war Armageddon. And then he's going to end it. And then that's when he's going to judge the world. And that's in the Valley of Decision when he takes over the planet. Now, skip down to verse 16 and continue.
Verse 16 reads,
"Yes, ma'am.
And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles."
Why keeping the Feast of Tabernacles? Because this is a sign that this must have took place before the Feast of Tabernacles. Why? Why didn't he say the Passover? Why didn't he say the Feast of Unleavened Bread? Why didn't he say the wave offering? Why didn't he say that? Because here he referred to the Feast of Tabernacles. Why didn't he say the Feast of Weeks? Why? Because this is crucial to when he spoke of, when he talks about the Jubilee. Now let's look at Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 8. This is how you get the Jubilee. That's why we were saying, if you take a calculator, right? You take a calculator and you do the math, you'll find how to calculate the Jubilees. Now, let's look at that. Go to Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 8. When you receive it, read.
Leviticus 25 and 8 reads, "And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years."
Years. See, this is the thing. That's why I say, you know, that skipping 3 days and 3 nights to get the wave offering, that's a goof, because the Pentecost is conducive to this conversation. That means you have to skip 3 years to make it right, you know, and that, yeah, whatever. Okay, all right. Gossy. Read on.
"And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years, and the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years.
49 years. Continue.
"Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, and the day of atonement shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land."
Let's look mind for this. He said, now all the nations are going to come up on the day of tabernacles, right, to worship the Lord. But why here is the Jubilee is taking place on the day of atonement? Go to Leviticus chapter 23. Amen. Leviticus 23. And let's pick it up at verse 1 and 2.
Amen. Leviticus 23, verse 1 reads.
Yes, ma'am.
"And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, concerning the feast of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feet."
Skip down to 4.
Verse 4 reads, These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their season.
Why? Because they're going to be a witness to themselves. They're going to testify of themselves. You see, that's why he said that the nations are going to come up on the Feast of Tabernacles. Why? Because the Feast of Tabernacles is going to declare itself at that time window. And then he said this in the Feast of Jubilee, the trumpet shall be sound on the Day of Atonement. Why? Go skip down to verse 26 and continue.
Leviticus 23 and verse
26. Yes, ma'am.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, also on the 10th day of this 7th month, there should be a day of atonement.
There it is. Okay, so now the trumpet of Jubilee sounds here on the Day of Atonement. Why? That's the next question. Continue.
Amen. On the Day of Atonement, it shall be a holy convocation unto you, and you shall afflict your souls.
You mean that you're going to be fasting and praying on this day? Well, I can only imagine seeing that God has came back on this day. So I guess we should be praying and fasting on this day. The thing is, when is it? And the God of Israel has given us a calendar to articulate this conversation. What day you supposed to be fasting on? At least he catch you not fasting, and that you are doing things contrary to the law, like eating on the atonement. Continue.
Amen.
Yes, ma'am.
You shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. And you shall do no work in that same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God.
Yes, ma'am.
For whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from among his people.
Come on.
And whatsoever soul it be that doeth any work in that same day, the same soul will I destroy from among his people.
See, if you are... during this time at the Day of Atonement, you at work, you out giving marriage and all this type of stuff. He just told you he's going to kill you. You're going to be destroyed. Continue.
Amen. Verse 30. And whatsoever soul it be that doeth any work in that same day, the same soul will I destroy from among his people.
Continue.
Ye shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statue forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings.
Come on.
It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest. And you shall afflict your souls in the 9th day of the month at evening. From evening unto evening shall you celebrate your Sabbath.
So there it is. So now we got the 10th day of the atonement, but he said you fast from the 9th day evening to evening. And then the 10th day, the God of Israel make an atonement for you. That's not, we're not really paying attention to this, but we should, because he said the 9th day from evening to evening you fast. Now, if you fast from evening to evening and you come to the 10th day, now the God of Israel can see that you actually made a petition, and now he can actually go before the Father and ask for forgiveness for your sins and remember your name before God in Christ. But what if you eat right after he do it, like so many of us have? You know, corrupted the Day of Atonement by eating on the atonement. You see, who knew? Maybe he had just got through offering. I used to wonder about that. Then I looked at this law and he said, no, that's the 9th day at evening. Okay, I see it. Then what do? You have a feast on the 10th day. Makes sense to me. You're hungry. Read on.
Amen. 33.
Yes, ma'am.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this 7th month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord.
See, there it is. That's why he said the nation is going to come up on the Feast of Tabernacles. Why? Because the trumpet blew on the atonement. Why? Because people was afflicting their souls. They was fasting and praying. And now here come God. Here he come. And people getting caught at the time of the atonement, not fasting. Let's look at that. Go to Revelations. Because remember, like you said, let the trumpet sound on the atonement, right? Go to Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15. What take place? Revelations 11 and 15. And by the way, the same chapter is where you can get that conversation. In fact, pick it up at 2.
Revelation 11 and verse 2 reads,
yeah.
But the court which is without the temple leave out and measure it not, for it is given it to the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months.
See, now, there go your calendar right there. He just gave you the window, right? Okay, continue.
Amen. 42 months, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days.
42 divided by 1260 is 30. So a month of God is 30 days. So you say 30 times 12 is 360. 360 divided by 2 is 180. That's a half a year. So you do this. Let's do that. Let's say 360 plus 360. Amen. 360 plus 360 plus 360, that's 3 years, plus 180, that's a half, give you, can we see it? There it is, 1260. There it is. So, I mean, he did the math for us. Now, we can go around and play with these moons and say, oh, God said, you know, you got a beginning of the month to him is a moon. Then you can't teach the Great Tribulation period. Not with the moons. Can't do it. Sorry. Now, so he gave us this time window. I'm not going all off into this right now because this is another conversation, but he's showing us how we get to this point to make sure that we're not caught up. But let's skip down to verse 15 and continue.
Verse 15 reads.
Yes, ma'am.
And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices.
There it is. He said, now, on the Day of Atonement, the seventh angel sounded. He sounded on the Day of a Trumpet, the Day of Atonement, and that was the Jubilee. He sounded. Why? Because that's when the captives are going to be set free. Read on.
Amen.
Yes, ma'am.
15, the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come.
Amen.
Because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great, that shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth.
Yes. Continue.
And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail.
Now, we see here, he said, now here come God. The heavens was open. Everybody seen it. Now the world is spooked because they see that God is real. Now there's a judgment for sin. Now 1 + 1 = 3. There's a judgment. Now we see that we was wrong. Now we see that there is a truth. There is an absolute truth. 1 + 1 = 2. That's an absolute truth. There is a judgment against an absolute truth. And that happened to be God. And so now he said, now the windows of heaven is open, the ark of the covenant is seen, the whole planet see God, and now the whole earth is mourning. One is, we understand that there's a judgment. Two is, they're going to see this being, and they're going to say, we did the wrong thing to the wrong people. All of a sudden, in an instant, the world is going to know who the children of Israel, because they're going to see this being coming, and it would, looking like with burnt brass. And everything they read in the Bible, it's going to make sense in one moment and in one day. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 50.
1 Corinthians.
15 and verse 50.
1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 50 reads, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doeth corruption inherit incorruption.
Yes, ma'am.
Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump.
There it is. So we see now that we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, which so happened, we read in Revelation chapter 11, this so happened to be the fifth, the seventh trump, right? But maybe that's a misprint. Maybe that's just seven. Maybe it could be 20. Maybe it could be 30. Well, let's look at that. Go back to Revelation chapter 8, and let's see how many trumpets are there. Revelation chapter 8, verse 1, and pick it up at verse 8 and 1, and we're going to read to the 2.
Amen. Revelation chapter 8 and verse 1 reads,
yes, ma'am.
And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was a silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. And I saw seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets.
There it is. So we see the last trump is the seventh trump because the seven angels sounded. And so when we read in Revelation chapter 11, that was the last trump that the people, that those that was righteous, the saints and all them, whether they were free by, you know, Abraham, the Daniels, he was captive. He was a bondman. It's going to get the reward at the same time. Amen? So this is this right here. He's talking about they're given seven trumpets. And one of them, the seventh angel, get to blow the trumpet on the Day of Atonement, which just so happened to be the Jubilee, which just so happened to be the turn of a millennium period, which that is to say, from the sixth day to the seventh day. That's what the millennium, that's what the Jubilee do. It constitute the millenniums. You see, because a day with God is 1,000 years. So it constitute or it reference when a day change in God window. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into Matthew chapter 24, verse 3. Revelation, Matthew 24, verse 3. And we're going to skip around a little bit. When you receive it, read.
Matthew chapter 24, and verse 3 reads.
Yes, ma'am.
And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?
Uh-huh.
And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you.
See, that's the first thing he said. He said, what's going to be the end of the world? And the disciples want to know. I want to know. Hey, inquiring minds want to know. And he said this. The first thing he said is, take heed that no man do what? Deceive you. That includes you and I. I'm a man. Ray is a man. We don't want to deceive ourselves thinking other than that. You know, like, I was listening to some dude last night. He was talking about we're going to be in heaven and this, that, and the other. I'm like, oh, my God. They still talking about this. They still saying they're going to heaven. In the 21st century, how is it that we read our, in the 21st century, we're still saying we're going to heaven? It is what it is. Where are we? Skip down to verse 15 and continue.
Matthew 24 and 15 reads,
yes, ma'am.
When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand.
Look, so now you go to Daniel's chapter 12, you can see this same time window, but he called it 1290. It's the same conversation. It's still a month of God, but it's 1290. When you see him, that's 1290. That's spoken of by Daniel. So Jesus is in agreement with Daniel's calendar and John's calendar. I don't know where they're getting this rest of this madness from, but I guess it is what it is. Right? Let's look at this a little further. Let's skip down to verse 12 and continue.
Oh, up to 12?
Yeah. No. Forgive me, 20.
Matthew 24 and 20?
Yeah.
But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day.
And people still preaching Sunday. And how is it that we in the 21st century and read this and still talking about Sunday? Something in our minds, something in our right minds will say, wait a minute. So now these ministries, they have their doors open and say that, well, we preach any day, but truth be told, they really get reference to Sunday because when Easter come around, they make a big deal out of it. They don't make a big deal out of the Sabbath day, but they make a big deal out of Easter Sunday. So no, that it is a respect of days and time when it comes to this 21st century creature, right? Read on.
21. For then shall be great tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time nor ever shall be.
Uh-huh.
And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But the elect spake, those days shall be shortened.
Why? Because the elect is going to inherit the earth. And man right now has the capacity to destroy the earth. What do you mean? It only takes 7 nuclear bombs to wipe out the entire planet. I mean, from everything from the fish to the insects to the every flesh and creature on the planet. Even the heavens, even the clouds, it just wipe it all out. 7, that's all it takes, 7 of them. And we got hundreds of the thousands of them on the planet right now. Talking about we're protecting our corner of the earth. Okay. Right. Read on.
Amen. Verse 23. Then if any man shall say unto you, did I read 22?
Yeah, skip down to 29 and continue.
Amen. 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory.
Why? Because the sun and moon is darkened, man. All you're going to see is God. So now he the end all be all. Now the whole earth is mourning because, like I said, not only we know that there's a judgment coming, but we've done the wrong thing to the wrong people. And not only that, we took for granted those that he sent in his name. Oops, didn't see that coming. It's another reason to mourn. Oh, yeah, we think just because, you know, gain is godliness is gain. No, it's not. No, it's not. It just mean that, you know, hey, Cleflo Dollar got more dollars. It only mean TDJ's got more churches. That ain't godliness, man. Godliness is righteousness. It's truth. Ain't no way in the world I'm going to blaspheme the truth and then say God is God and that he don't change. I'm going to use that scripture. God, you know, he's God and he changed not. He the same yesterday and forever. Then turn around and take the law and say he changed it. If that's not schizophrenic, bipolar, whatever mental illness we want to choose to label that type of disturbed thought of convincing ourselves that that is an absolute truth, it's mental illness. Seriously. Now 1 + 1 isn't 2. Read on.
Amen.
31.
And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet.
There it is, the 7th trump. Once again, there go that conversation. Remember now at the Day of Atonement. When? At the Day of Jubilee. Why? Because he's going to set the captives free. Continue.
And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig.
Skip down to verse 36 and continue.
36 reads, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For and as the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be.
See there? See, we're not paying attention to that. Go to the atonement conversation. Let's go back to that Leviticus chapter 25. And let's pick up that Jubilee. Look what happens at this point, right? Leviticus 25. Because remember now, he took the world back. He took the world back from the wicked. Amen? So Leviticus chapter 25, let's pick it up in verse 8 again and continue.
Leviticus 25 and 8 reads,
yes, ma'am.
And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years, and the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, and the day of atonement shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land.
Mm-hmm.
And ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a Jubilee unto you. And ye shall return every man to his possession, and ye shall return every man into his family.
Didn't he say that the Lord is about to reward every man, both small and great? He coming with his rewards with him. That is to say, if you are captive, that means we all get to go back to our lands. The Europeans that's in America, the Mingo people, are going back to their different parts of the world. If you're Irish, you're going back to Ireland. If you're Scottish, you're going back to Scotland. If you're Saxon, you're going back to Saxon. Britain, no such thing as English. Let's wipe that out. If you're Italian, you go back to Italian. If you're African, you go back to Africa. And if you're the different tribes of Africa from Uganda and Kenya, you're all going back home. Everybody's going back home. Arabia, all the different tribes of Arabia, they all going back home. I'm not talking about the whole planet. I'm talking about who's left. Who's left. And then he said this, and Esau, now he got to rethink, relearn how to get into the kingdom. Why? So the Lord said he gets to get in the third generation. Imagine that. He's going to get to get in the third generation. Why? Because he's still a son of Isaac. And Isaac is going to be alive. How is it that Isaac going to have two sons and he loved both of them and he's going to see one cut off? That ain't how this works. Isaac is there. He's there at this time. Isaac, Rebecca, that's her son too. So he's getting back in the land. No, it don't make any difference how you look at it or anybody else. He's just not getting his land back. He gonna live with us. Go figure. Look at this a little further. Let's go in. Continue.
Leviticus 25 and 11 reads, a Jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. Ye shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself in it, nor gather the grapes in it of thy vine undressed. For it is a Jubilee, it shall be holy unto you. Ye shall eat the increase thereof out of the field. In the year of this Jubilee, ye shall return every man into his possession. And if thou shalt out ought unto thy neighbor, or buyest ought of thy neighbor's hand, ye shall not oppress one another. According to the number of years after the Jubilee, thou shalt buy of thy neighbor.
See, that's what we're referring to. Let me see if I can find that quickly, because you got a lot of liars out here teaching against that law. They rejoice in that lie. We want to rejoice in that foul spirit. And God of Israel said, they're going to be with us. Why? Because actually, they're your brother. Actually, we shouldn't even be here. Esau had it in his heart to kill us. But instead, when he saw us, he had mercy. When he ran up on Jacob, he had 400 soldiers. He could have wiped us out. It would have been no 12 tribes, no nothing. Instead, he had mercy on us and loved on us. And Joseph saw that. He taught Joseph how to forgive his brothers. And we want to put him in a lake of fire. Let's look at that. That Numbers see. I can't even do this then. Yep, I'm reading it from. Okay. Go back and just, I know it's in Deuteronomy, and it's in the earlier chapters. Let's see. Okay, something is definitely. Let's see, also here. I might get back to that because I don't want to lose this here. This isn't about him. This is about us getting back our land from him. We already got it back because Most High already took it from him. We may revisit that again, but we're going to revisit how he goes through Esau and get it, and I'll have that scripture on the Sabbath day. Let's continue. Let's go into Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 15.
Isaiah 66 and 15 reads, "For behold, the Lord will come with fire, and with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many."
So the Lord is going to plead with everybody. It don't make any difference whether you're a Hebrew or Israelite or Esau or white, black, Asian. He's going to plead with everybody that's on the planet. And he's going to set it straight. Continue.
"They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens behind one tree, in the midst, eating swine's flesh and the abomination in the mouth, shall be consumed together, saith the Lord."
There it is again, that conversation. And that's that conversation when the God of Israel said that they're going to be eating and drinking and things like that. So at its appearing, the people is going to be in trouble because they hadn't taken the atonement. Continue.
"For I know their works and their thoughts. It shall come that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory, and I will set a sign among them."
He said, they what? And they're going to come and see my glory. What do you mean they're going to come and see my glory? The nation's going to come up and come and see his glory. When? Now he's the King of Kings. And that day he shall be one Lord. When? On the tabernacles, on the feast days. They're going to come up and see his glory. Let's look at that. What glory is he talking about? Is he talking about the children of Israel and the choirs and the priesthood and all that? Or is he talking about him himself? Let's look at that. Let's go into St. John chapter 17 and 4. St. John 17 and 4. When you receive it, read.
St. John 17 and verse 4 reads, "I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do."
Yes, ma'am.
"And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was."
There it is. So he said, "Now glorify thyself with me, with thyself that I had with you before the world was." That's that glory. Remember now, he's Melchizedek. So the whole world is going to come and see that glory. That's what the world going to come and see. From feast day to feast day, from Sabbath to Sabbath, the world is going to come to see this glory, the glory that he had before time, before there was a first day, before there was an angel, before there was nothing. That glory he had with him, it was always two, together. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into Genesis chapter 14 and verse 14 and 18. Genesis 14 and 18, and I found that scripture.
Genesis 14 and 18.
Yes, ma'am.
"And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was a priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abram, of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which have delivered thy enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all.
See, this is the other thing. See, Abraham, he, you know, it was, people say, well, you know, it ain't no church. What are you doing? What you going to pay tithes to? Hey, man, Abraham paid tithes. You ain't got to pay tithes. Abraham paid tithes. And he, you know, and in the book, the law said, man, he paid tithes in Levi. That solidified the priesthood. But you ain't got to pay tithes. You just won't see a throne. Have at it. Keep yours. Be easy with that. Just remember this. You just cost yourself a seat. Let's look at that a little further. Let's go into Hebrews chapter 7. First, let's go into Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 23 and verse 7.
Deuteronomy 23 and 7 reads, thou shalt abhor an Edomite.
Thou shalt not hate an Edomite. We got that word flying around loosely. And the law said, this is the law. This is from Melchizedek himself. Don't you hate them, because that's Isaac's son. Read on.
For he is thy brother.
Yes.
Thou shalt not abhor an Egyptian, because thou wast a stranger in his land.
Don't mean he didn't bless us. He blessed Abraham. He gave Abraham, he made Abraham rich. He could have killed Abraham. He could have did all of that. He said, no, but the Lord remembered him. He blessed Joseph. He made him second ruler. And we want to be blowing smoke all over them. And the God of Israel said, you're not going to hate them either. They getting in the kingdom too. He said he's going to give Egypt back their land. The Egyptians are still on the planet. The real ones, the original ones, just like the original Hebrew, the original Israelite is still on the earth. They still wandering around. Even though you got that Arabian sitting over there. And don't get me wrong. Ishmael's mother was an Egyptian. Hagar. I mean, it ain't like he ain't supposed to be there, but it ain't his land because his mother is was a servant. Egypt Ham land belonged to Ham. Ishmael is a Hebrew. He gonna give it back to Ham. That's he said. Every man is gonna return back to his land. That includes them too. Read on.
Amen. Verse 8. The children that are begotten of them shall enter into the congregation of the Lord in their third generation.
Case in point. So Ishmael, Esau, Edom, while we want to be blowing smoke and throwing rocks at them, God of Israel said they're getting into the kingdom, whether you like it or not. You cannot like what he said. That's between you and him. You judging yourself that he don't know what he's talking about, that you don't approve what he's saying. You got a problem with the truth. Hey, have at it. Don't say you didn't hear it, and don't say you ever been served. You're not going to lie before God next to me or in front of me. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into Hebrews chapter 7.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 1.
Hebrews 7 and 1 reads, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings.
That's what we read about in Genesis chapter 14. Continue.
To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem.
Let's keep that in mind. King of righteousness, right? And he also the king of peace. Continue.
Which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually.
And we want to sit up here and think we're going to get in the kingdom of God with nonsense. You know, everybody got to kiss your ass or forget, you know, you got, everybody got to forgive you. But when you told your offense, you'll stand before God and say, I was justified in not rendering peace or not seeking peace and ensuing it. I'm going to stand in front of him like that. And he's the King of peace. And we still in peace from each other. Like the devil, he come to rob, steal, and destroy. And we'd rather steal somebody's peace than render righteousness and then think we're going to stand before the King of righteousness and justify by not rendering peace. Nothing to happen. So all this, you know, white man kiss my shoe and, you know, this, that, and the other. Y'all, man, we going to get it. Going to get it. And all these white people want to hate on black, you going to get it. You better thank God that there's no such thing as ghosts running around on the planet. But there is devils. Skip down to verse 12. Now, read that 3.
Hebrews 7 and 3 reads, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth the priest continually.
Now, here it is. Now, he's made like on the Son of God. That's why he said, give me my glory I had with you before the world was. What do you mean? Before the world was, not the beginning of days. Before the world was, there was no such thing as a day. So who are we talking about here? People say Jesus never said he was God. There it is. Read on.
Amen. Verse 4. Now consider how great this man was, and to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoil.
We need to read this on your own time. I ain't got time to be running because we're dealing with another part. Skip down to verse 12, and when you receive it, read.
Amen. Verse 12. For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law.
See, the priesthood is no longer Aaron and Levitical at this point. We up under the Melchizedek priesthood. That's without lineage. That is the King of righteousness. That's the priesthood of righteousness. Those that come up in the first resurrection, they are the priests of righteousness. They are the kings of righteousness. So therefore, they're going to receive righteousness. This ain't about lineage here. It's about righteousness. Let's look at this a little further. Skip down to verse 14 and continue.
14 reads, for it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, and out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood.
Amen. Skip down to verse 17 and continue.
17, for he testifieth, thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek.
Skip down to verse 21.
21 reads, for those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that saith unto him, the Lord swear and would not repent, and will not repent. The Lord swear and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek.
That's why he's coming back and he got a name that nobody knew because this, remember now, he don't have the beginning of days. This conversation we having here, this alphabet that we're using, that we read and all that type of stuff, regardless of what part of the world, wasn't in the beginning. It was mentioned that it would be used, but that's not what they were using. This is what he's using. So when he come back in that name that nobody knew, it's going to have this right here. That's that name. And then he said, and I got a stone for you too with a name on it. God willing, we live and we do come up in the first resurrection. You're going to get a new name too. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, because he's the King of righteousness, right? 1 and 5, when you receive it, read.
Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5 reads.
Yes, ma'am.
And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten Son of the dead, and the Prince of the kings of the earth, and to him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood.
Yes, ma'am.
And have made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever.
See, he made us now kings and priests. It's called a king of righteousness. Now he made us the priest of righteousness. We ain't going to be sitting up here judging out the color of our skin and what you got on and what you don't have on. It's going to be our conduct that God, the God of Israel, is going to be referring to. Continue.
Verse 7.
Yes, ma'am.
Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him.
Look at here. He brought up the first and the second resurrection. And he also brought up that everybody's going to see him when he comes, every last one of us. That's if we come up in the first resurrection, we're going to see him, and those of us that come up in the second resurrection are going to see him. And we're going to see that he was pierced. He still had those scars, like you got that scar. You remember where it came from? He definitely remember where his came from. That's why he ain't changed it. He haven't changed it. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go on to Revelation chapter 5 and 9.
Amen.
So now we got an unchangeable priesthood here. Now we got a priesthood that's all set up. He has made us unto our God kings and priests. Now we're talking about the Melchizedek priesthood. He made us kings and priests too. Revelations 5 and 9, when you receive it, read.
Revelation 5 and 9, read.
Yes, ma'am.
And they sang a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation.
Amen.
And have made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth.
And we shall reign in heaven.
And we shall reign.
This is why I say these preachers, man, I listen to this dude. I almost got a headache. I'm like, how in the world this guy's even up here and people are listening to this? I mean, that lets me know that ain't nobody in there read their book. Nobody. Nobody. So, it is what it is. What can you say? What can you do? You know, you can't make people to read. You know, if people want to read what they want to, they're going to receive what they want to receive. Like the Lord said, they're going to heed to themselves. Teachers have itching ears. Oh, yeah. Month of God ain't 30 days. It's one old new moon to the next. Itching ear. Oh, the law has changed. You ain't got to worry about those things like fringes and staffs. Itching ear. The less you get to do, the more happier you are. Oh, you know, when God come back, you know, you ain't got to worry about more than one wife. Itching ear. And no, I ain't here to teach against the law. I may not agree with everything in there, but I ain't teaching against it. And I sit right here, and I tell you everything that was in this book that he allowed me to see, and I bet you won't hear me teach anything against it. Revelations 20 and verse 1. Read down to the 6. Revelations 20 and verse 1.
Revelation 21 reads,
yes, ma'am.
And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is called the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years.
A day with God is 1,000 years. This is the Sabbath day, people. This is the seventh day in the creation of Adam. Let's keep that in mind. Read on.
Amen. Verse 3.
Yes, ma'am.
And cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled.
So he got to bind the rest breaker for 1,000 years, because we got to have 1,000 years of peace, because now we are in the time window of God. You see. Read on. We're not in the 24-hour window now. We're in a 1,000-year window. Continue.
Amen. And cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season.
Continue.
And I saw thrones, and They sat upon them.
Kings and priests, read on.
And judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years.
Now, he said he saw thrones. Well, yeah, they go your kings, right? And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Read on, verse 5.
Amen. Verse 5 reads, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection.
There it is. So this is the first resurrection. So those that come up in the first resurrection are going to be kings and priests. Everybody don't get a throne. Everybody, you know, like if you imagine the kingdom, which just the way people draw it out, it just doesn't make sense. Everybody is going to be on a throne. That's stupid. Throne mean government or judgment or something. But if you listen to people, read on.
Amen.
Yes, ma'am.
Verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years.
So they're going to be kings. There it is. They're going to be thrones and priests of God and Christ. The Melchizedek priesthood is established there, right there. Why? Because this is the Sabbath day. A day with God is 1,000 years. Go to 2 Peter chapter 3 and 8. 2 Peter 3 and 8. When you receive it, read.
2 Peter 3 and verse 8 reads.
Yes, ma'am.
But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day.
Amen. So 1,000, that's what he's talking about. Say he had to be bound that seventh day, not Sunday, the seventh day. Mind you, Sunday falls after the seventh day. That's when he's loosed again. Let's keep that in mind. The great white throne judgment take place on the first day of the week. He's loosed on the first day of the week. Judgment is taking place on the first day of the week, which just so happened to be the eighth day of man. That's why he said, and God divided the light from the darkness. That's judgment. And he called the light good, judgment. And the evening and the morning were the first day, there it is. Which just so happened to be the 13th day in the creation. Go figure. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into Psalms chapter 132. Nope. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 4.
Hebrews 4 and 4 reads, for he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this one. And God did rest the seventh day from all his work.
There it is. In fact, read 3 and 4.
Hebrews 4 and 3.
Yeah.
For we which have believed do enter into rest.
Let's keep that in mind. Here come rest, right? Kings and priests are going to enter into that day of rest. Read on.
As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world.
That's in Genesis. Continue.
For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this watch.
So we was talking about as a time, as a day with God, you see. So we are talking about a day with God, but he's talking about from Adam to the seventh day. Continue.
And God did rest the seventh day from all his work.
And so will we. Skip down to verse 8 and continue.
Verse 8. For Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day?
Continue.
There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God.
Come on.
For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own work, come, as God did from his.
Continue.
Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief.
You cannot believe that. We cannot believe that you're going to be kings and priests on the Sabbath. We cannot believe that the first resurrection is going to take place. It's going to make us in the image of God at the Jubilee, at the or Day of Atonement. At the end of one millennium and a change of another. That's why he said it's going to be like a day, neither day nor night. It's going to be like a dawn or a twilight. It's going to be in the twilight like a dawn, like just in that moment and before each time window, before the changing of a day from one to the next, that's when you get your change. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. That's why I say it's not going to be like day or night. It's going to be like a dawn or twilight. Twinkle. Psalms 132 and verse 8. Psalms 132 and verse 8. When you receive it, read.
Psalms 132 and verse 8 reads, "Arise, O Lord, into thy rest, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let the priest be clothed with righteousness, and let thy saints shout for joy."
See that? He said, "Arise, O Lord, into thy rest." What rest? The rest we just got to reading about in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 3 and 4 and 5. In Hebrews chapter 4, "Arise, O Lord, into your rest, and let what? Let the priest be clothed with what? Himself. Let them put on the same glory he has on." That's why I said, you know, people thought I was tripping when I said, oh, man, you know, don't be surprised if the God of Israel come on the great white throne judgment and he have on fringes while we judging the world. There it is. You think we're going to have on a choir gown with crosses on them and all that foolishness? You think we're going to be looking like that? Or we're going to be looking like his priests, like Aaron and them? But the difference between Aaron and these priests, Aaron priests didn't shine like the sun. They looked like us. Even though they had a glow about them, they had an aura, but they didn't hide this aura. They didn't shine like this because these men here at this point and women are physically and spiritually changed forever. No more sin. No more nonsense. No one stealing your righteousness, your truth, your peace in God. They ain't gonna get to do that anymore. No. And then judge you like they allowed to before God in Christ. Ain't that something? And then stand before God and say, I'm allowed to do it. That ain't taking place because they're not going to see God. Ain't no way you're going to see God and you're full of nonsense, strife, and contention. And then go sit up and say, I'm going to be around the King of Peace. Watch. Continue.
Verse 10. For thy servant David's sake, turn not away the face of thine anointed. The Lord has sworn in truth unto David. He will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne.
Come on.
If thy children will keep my covenant and my testimony that I shall teach them, their children shall also sit upon thy throne forevermore.
There it is. That's Revelation chapter 4. I saw thrones. There it is. Continue.
Verse 13. For the Lord hath chosen Zion. He hath desired it for his habitation.
So he's here on the planet. He's not in heaven. Remember now, he had to clean out first. He said judgment has gone. He said the Lord shall roar from Zion. So now he cleaned the earth up. Now he's there. Continue.
This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it.
It's a year of rest. Here we are in the year of Jubilee. See that? It's a Jubilee now. It's a sabbatical. The whole earth is at rest. The land is healing. Everything is healing. The waters is healing. No nuclear explosions in the waters. No bombs being set off in the waters. None of that. It's a day of rest. Read on.
15. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her.
Where the poor is coming from? And why they need food if it's all immortals? If everybody's in heaven here, why they aren't in heaven? And where the flesh and blood come from that's going to need bread? Continue.
I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priests with salvation.
See, that's that thing. That's once again, his name is what? The King of Peace? King of Righteousness? And salvation. So the priest that come up in the first resurrection is going to be saved. They're going to be considered kings and priests. They're going to have on garments of praise, righteousness, and salvation. Continue.
I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. There will I make the horn of David to bud. I have ordained a lamp for my anointed. His enemies will I clothe with shame. But upon himself shall his crown flourish.
Skip down. Go to Exodus chapter 19 and 5. Kings and priests, and they shall reign on the earth. Exodus 19 and 5 and continue. I mean, Exodus, yeah, 19 and 5.
Exodus 19 and 5 reads, Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel.
See, the children of Israel understand that this wasn't then. He's talking about at his coming. Because if we were a kingdom of priests, we would be. But this is at his appearing. So he's talking about when they are sitting on thrones, and they clothed with the garments of praise, righteousness, and salvation. That kingdom. Skip down to verse 16 and continue. And look what takes place when they become a kingdom of priests. Read on. So God ain't, he letting us know when it's going to take place. Read on.
16, and it came to pass on the third day in the morning, that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled.
What happened? The trumpet was blown. There it is. Now the whole earth is afraid, because now we see that it's real. It's real. So now he said, you're going to be kings and priests, and the trumpet shall sound, and you shall raise up. And I got my reward with me. Did we not read all of that? So we're looking at Moses playing out the first resurrection. Why? Because if we believe in God, we Moses see. We're not teaching against Moses. We're in agreement with Moses. Read on.
17.
Yes, ma'am.
And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God.
See, that's the first one. Moses, that's why he told Lazarus, that dude in the lake of fire, he said, but Lord, go and tell, I got five brothers. Go tell them don't come to this place. What did Jesus say? They got Moses and the prophets. What did Abraham say? They got Moses and the prophets. Let them hear him right here. If you ain't trying to get into the lake of fire, you better listen at what Moses said. You better listen at what the prophet said. You can't pick and choose what Moses said and what the prophet said and what we're going to do and what we're not going to do. I don't care what it is. The only thing we cannot do is go back to the sacrificial law because we're under the Melchizedek priesthood in this dispensation. Not to say that it won't take place again. This dispensation, no. Read on.
And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke. because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof descended as the smoke of a furnace.
Come on.
And the whole mount quaked greatly.
He said the whole earth is going, he said the heavens going to roll back with fervent heat. There it is. Read on.
19. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed up and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice.
Come on.
And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up.
Stop right there. There go your first resurrection. And the Lord called Moses, and Moses went up. There it is. He met God in the air. Why? At the top of the mountain. That's in the air. He met God in the firmament. That represented the first resurrection, the trumpet sounding loud, and then he met God. The priesthood is official right there. Let's go to Matthew chapter 19 and verse, no, forgive me. Go to Matthew chapter 17. In verse 1. No, forgive me. I'm right. Go to Matthew's chapter, because he said you're going to be kingdom of priests, right? You're going to be a nation of peace, a kingdom of priests, right? There's 12 tribes in the kingdom. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 27. When you receive it, read.
Matthew 19 and 27 reads, Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel.
Right, but wait a minute, man. You're going to have a whole lot of us coming up in the first resurrection. So, you know, and it's a whole globe. Okay. Right? Read on.
Amen. 29. Everyone that hath forsaken houses, our brethren, our sisters, our father, our mother, our wife, our children, our lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life.
Come on.
But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first.
Just because, you know, you where you at, that's why he said he come, his reward is with him, to reward both those that are rich and poor, bond and free. That include Abraham to Daniel, to Jesus. You know, even though he's the one that's coming, what do I mean? Jesus said, you know, hey, a fox have a hole. The Son of Man don't even have a rock to lay his head. I mean, seriously. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into, so if they're going to be judging the 12 tribes, what about the rest of us, right? Let's go into Luke chapter 22 and 28. Luke 22, 28. So now he's establishing the kingdom up. We see kings and priests, and we see now saviors on the earth now. We see saints on the earth now. Now we see the disciples are going to judge the 12 tribes, right? Okay. They get the 12 tribes. Continue.
Luke 22:28, and ye are they which have continued with me in my temptation. And I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my father had appointed
us. I'm going to appoint, now, those of us that's continuing with him, I'm going to appoint you a kingdom. You're going to get one. But remember, the 12 tribes got the 12 tribes. I mean, the 12 disciples got the 12 tribes. So you can forget that. That's a wrap. But I'm going to give you one. I'm going to appoint you a kingdom. Continue.
Amen. 30. And they that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on the thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel.
Now, let's look at this a little further. Go to Matthew chapter 25 and verse 14. Because remember now, you saw kings and priests, and we reigning on the earth, right? or kings and priests, and they were reigning on earth. I should say that. Kings and priests, and they shall reign on earth. No, I say, and we shall reign on earth. That's what it says. So I'm going to say it like I said it. You speak that in existence. 19 to 27, when you receive it, read.
Matthew's
chapter 19 to 20. No, Matthew's 25 and 14.
14 reads, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling. Traveling. Okay. Traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto him and to them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee rule over many things.
See, you're going to get your own city. You're going to rule over other kingdoms. Maybe 5, maybe 10, maybe 2. It ain't going to make no difference to you. You know why? 1, you got the mind of God. 2, you got the body. 3, you got the priesthood. 4, you're not going to stand in the judgment. And 5, you officially a saint. Woo-wee. So I know we ain't got no problem with him having 10 and you got 2. That ain't going to be a conversation in the kingdom. Ain't no big eyes and little U's there, because the King of Kings is the big eye. Read on. Yes, ma'am.
He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things.
Let's go to Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 18. Isaiah 30 and 18. Will you receive it, read me?
Amen. Isaiah 30.
Yes, ma'am. Isaiah 30, verse 18. Will you receive it, read?
And verse 18 reads, and therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you.
Yes.
For the Lord is a God of judgment.
Yes.
Blessed are all they that wait for him.
Continue.
For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry.
Yes.
When he shall hear it, he will answer thee.
Yes.
And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers.
Wait a minute. So we're going to see Moses. We're going to see Abraham. We're going to see Abel. We're going to see Seth. We're going to see Noah. We're going to see Ham, Shem, and Japheth. We're going to see all of them. We're going to see our teachers who taught us what from Genesis to Revelations. We're going to see Paul, the disciples. We're going to see them. We're going to see Miriam. We're going to see Sarai. We're going to see Rebecca. Leah, Rachel. We're going to see all of them. Going to see them too. Go to Revelations chapter. No, go to Psalms chapter 45. And we're going to wrap this up here. And we're going to pick the rest up on the Sabbath. Well, God willing, I don't know. Well, might do it. Might do some more tomorrow. Maybe not. Depending on where I'm at. Because I still got a lot to write down. I got to add to this. Because there is the Father's kingdom. This is the Son's kingdom. Let's mind you. This ain't New Jerusalem coming down kingdom. This is the Son's kingdom after he take the earth back. Psalms 45. And let's pick it up at verse
45 and 1 reads,
yes, ma'am.
My heart is indicting a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with the glory in thy majesty. And in thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness.
Because of what?
And in thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness.
Righteousness is how you going to get this. Read on.
And righteousness and thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things.
That's the Father. Read on.
Amen. Verse 5. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king.
That's what we read in Revelation chapter 11, verse 25, I think it was. Read on.
Whereby the people fall under thee. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter.
Come on.
Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows.
He's the King of kings, Lord of lords. He is the high priest, the most high. Like Aaron was over the rest of the brethren that were Levites. All of us had jobs. But Aaron was the one that was supposed to do the administration, that was the one that approached God. And believe it or not, even Aaron's sons, even Levi's sons had a problem with Aaron. I mean, it's just the nature of the beast. You know, flesh is always going to be tripping. They're going to hate you for what the God of Israel gave you. And they're always going to think they're better than you and that they can do something better and that you're not worthy to get what the God of Israel has given you. Like, seriously, if he taught him that, shouldn't I be like, wait a minute, that belong to him, I should be minding where I'm at? You would think, man, no fear of God now in the 21st century. We worse than the strangers and the heathens. Worse. Because we should know better. We should fear God. Like you said, what do you say? Touch not mine anointing, do his prophets no harm. Is that the law? Or is that a suggestion?
All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia.
See, that was what Nicodemus, there go Nicodemus right there. When he came up out of the tomb, that's what he smelled like. Read on.
Out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad.
Come on.
King's daughters were among the honorable women.
Oh, there they go. So now you're going to see Sarah and Rebecca and Leah and Rachel, all the ones we want to judge. Maybe even Hagar. All the ones we want to judge. You know. You only can have one wife and this, that, and the other. Don't get me wrong, man. I just Western world and tear that nonsense up. But you can't teach against it because the law won't let you teach against it. And ain't no way in the world I'm going to call Sarah and Abraham the fornicators or swingers. And I ain't going to call Jacob a fornicator when God said he left with his wives and children. That was God talking to Moses, and Moses was writing Genesis down. So if God said those are his wives, then I'm not finna say, God, you know what? You don't know what you're talking about. I ain't with you on that. I ain't finna have it. You know, I tell you one, I tell you a thousand times. You ain't getting away with it here in this Western world. They'd rather see you married to another man before they'd rather see you married to another woman. That's how bad they made it. But the hell I'm going to teach against that. And the hell I'm going to teach that just because you and your feelings. And I'm going to turn my ear from the law because of you. Not going to happen. The book said not one jot, no tittle shall in no wise pass from the law to all be fulfilled. And I'm in agreement with that. Where do you think all these children is going to come from? Read on.
King's daughters were among the honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir.
Come on.
Hearken, O daughter, and consider, and incline thy ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house.
Yes, sir. Why? Because if they come up in the first resurrection, they ain't going to be thinking about their mother and father, all that nonsense, you know, running back and forth to them, if they got a mother and father to run back to. Read on.
Amen. Verse 11. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty.
And what? This is Jesus. So he'll desire your beauty. But then again, he could despise you too. Read on.
So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship thou him.
Right.
And the daughter of Tyre shall be there with a gift. Even the rich among the people shall entreat thy favor.
Yes.
The king's daughter is all glorious within.
Wait a minute. That's why he desire her beauty, because she right on the inside. She ain't foul, funky, or clamorous, full of attitude, blaming everybody and their mama. But what if you aren't all beautiful on the inside? He said he not going to desire you because you're going to do that to him. It's only a matter of time before you pop off against the throne. Read on.
Verse 13, the king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold.
Yes.
She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. The virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee.
Yes.
With gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter into the king's palace. Instead of thy fathers shall be thy children, whom thou mayest make princesses in all the earth. I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the people praise thee forever and ever.
There it is. So the sisters going to get king. They're going to be getting thrones too, as we just read. You see? So now we got, he said, I'm going to satisfy the poor with bread. One more scripture, Isaiah 4 and verse 1. And then we're going to pick this up because now he's here. He's on the earth. And remember now, it's going to be a repopulation because he wiped out like 90% of all of mankind. So it's going to be a repopulation thing. I don't think it'll ever get back to this point, ever. Not in 1,000 years. It took 6,000 years to get men, these many men and women on the planet. But I doubt very seriously in 1,000 years we'll reach this magnitude. Read on.
Isaiah 4 and 1 reads, and in that day, 7 women shall take hold of one man.
That's a lie. I'm gonna blind my eyes to that because of your feelings. That ain't finna happen. It ain't finna happen. I'm gonna teach the law, even though I can't justify it in this country, but I ain't gonna take it away from anybody in somebody else's country to actually participate in these things. I can't judge them for that because the law ain't judging them. You can say all you want. You can judge Jesus if you want to. Read on.
And in that day, 7 women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat of our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach.
Now, there go, here come all the children being born. That's why you say I'm going to satisfy the poor with bread. The children is being born now. We're going to get into this part of it because now babies is on earth. If you got 7 women, you got 7 children that's probable. You see, so that's a different thing. Read on.
Verse 2, in that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful.
Wait a minute. So we're saying that the branch of the Lord isn't beautiful? We're teaching that it's not. From this Western world, it's slave count. You don't even know your last name or what tribe you out of or who and what you are. But we're going to judge God. You're going to judge Abraham, a friend of God. Sarah, a friend of God. Jacob, son of God. 12 tribes, the children of God. Okay. David, a man after God's whole heart. Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived. We're going to judge all of them from here. instead of just reading where they made their mistakes at and saying, okay, well, I get that. I'm not going down that road. But we're going to teach against that and justify it from a Western mindset. Nope, not me. There's a whole lot of preachers out here that got an itch in there for you. Go knock yourself out. Have at it. They'll scratch your ear like a dog. If you don't like this, if this don't make you happy, if you can't see this and be good with this, read on.
Amen. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel.
Whoa! Please say that. Continue.
3. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy.
Wait a minute. I thought they'd be called fornicators and swingers and switch hitters and stuff like that. Read on.
Even everyone that is written among the living in Jerusalem. When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and a smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For upon all the glory shall be a defense. And there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat and for a place of refuge and for a covert from storm and from rain.
Ain't that something? And we got a problem with this. No, you got a problem with that. And you can find a preacher in this weak world and in the faith and among Israel that's weak enough to teach against this. I ain't the one. I'm going to tell it like it is, and if you don't like it, your concern is not mine. I mean, like I said, I'm willing to confess. There's a lot of things in this book I don't like. The hell I ain't going to teach about it. You'll never know it. Man, maybe you would because you see me going through a thing over here. I'm probably be having a conniption, a fit, because I'm reading something that's tearing me apart. You know. But ain't no way in the world I'm going to sit up here and justify anybody because of some Western sickness, illnesses called pride. Anyway, so with that being said, we want to thank everybody for their time. We hope we edify someone. Those of you that's listening or watching on Facebook and our family that's listening on Blog Talk, we want to say Godspeed. God bless you, and hey, we're coming back. We're going to finish this up because remember now, the kingdom of God is on the earth now. He's separated, he parted out the world. Now we got righteous judgment ruling. Let's look at that because this thing gets to be beautiful. He heals the people. Long life is imputed. Long life and longevity, even in the flesh, we're going to start back to living 200, 300, 400, 500 years old. So we want to look at those things. Those things are beautiful that's coming. So with that being said, I want to thank everybody for their time. We hope you edify someone. As we say here at the Signs of Living Waters, please
read
your Bibles.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from the
Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, bleed from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of a living water. Sounds of a living water. Sounds of a living water. Radio show. Sounds of a living water. Sounds of a living water. Sounds of a living water. Radio show. Sounds of a living water. Sounds of a living water. Sounds of a living water. Radio show. Sounds of a living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.